Okay, so I just started the recording so that, you know, this can be available for someone else. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about forgiveness because I felt I had thought about talking about the idea of choosing for inner peace, letting that be our kind of main goal. And then I had an experience with someone else who was facing a challenging situation, and I kind of felt like the way to inner peace is this practice of forgiveness. But the idea of forgiveness is so, you know, interpreted in so many different ways that I almost wanted to, like, you know, like when you look up a word in a dictionary to, like, say, okay, let's just start from the bottom, you know, and then go up. So we've been using this book from Gerald Jampolsky, Teach Only Love, about the different principles of attitudinal healing. And forgiveness is one of the principles. Forgiveness is the way to true health and happiness, he writes. And he goes on to explain, by not judging, we release the past and let go of our fears of the future. In so doing, we come to see that everyone is our teacher and that every circumstance is an opportunity for growth in happiness, peace, and love. So I'm going to read that last part again, that everyone is our teacher. All right, so everyone is our teacher, no exception. This includes our friends. This includes the people that we look up to and admire and the people that, you know, are, you know, we can say all kinds of things of them that may not be positive, you know. They just, we can say they make our life difficult or, you know, why is this person in my life or whatever, or a person that we would like to engage with and they're not engaging with us, you know, it doesn't matter. So everyone is our teacher, and every circumstance is an opportunity for growth and happiness, peace, and love. So we sometimes say in the past, I know we've talked, that it's really difficult for us to apply these ideas, and I was thinking about it, like, why do we find it difficult? Why, you know, we've said it's so simple, these ideas of love and peace, looking for love, you know, they're ideas that kindergartners, right, can practice, you know, what is it to be nice, what is it to be kind? We're teaching that to our kids. So it's not like a intellectually difficult thing, right? It's not like you have to have a PhD or something. Yet why do we find it difficult? And when I read this, it struck me that our mind, that is that ego mind, can find exceptions. You know, it looks for the exceptions. And then it just starts to make like a defense, like a fortress. You know, we defend against this practice, and then we say it's difficult. But if we looked at this and said, every circumstance and every person is my teacher, every person and every circumstance is my teacher to help me grow in happiness, peace, and love, you know, that they're not here to take anything away from me. It looks like, maybe it looks like they're hurting me or they're causing me harm or whatever I'm interpreting, but it can be turned around to be an opportunity for growth and happiness, peace, and love. And I think even that, like if we can just, you know, see that the purpose the ego would give, and when I say the ego mind, you know, that mind that's in fear, that's just seeing separation. It just is not joining with anyone or anything. And that part is dictating, then it's going to have its purpose, but then the wise mind will be able to give us a different purpose, and that purpose can be this idea of growth and happiness, peace, and love. So having said that, I think it's important to talk about what forgiveness is not, because that can be misinterpreted also. So forgiveness doesn't mean that when we're angry, we repress our anger and say, okay, everything is fine, you know, it's all good because I'm forgiving here. Or that we, on the other hand, it also doesn't mean we act out on our anger. Sometimes we have this attitude, you know, to forgive is to be holy or to be more spiritually in tune or, you know, to have that sense of, you know, superiority. It's not that. It also doesn't mean that if we're going through, let's say, a difficult situation, you know, maybe someone is going through a separation, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to go and remarry that person or, you know, join with that person on a physical level. Or if we left a job and we have grievances, it means that we have to go back to that job or anything else like that. It doesn't mean that, you know, if we're practicing this and someone is a prisoner in a jail, that means, okay, these prisoners have to be let out. So it's not so much the actions. And that's the difficult part because our mind is so habituated into interpreting things based on actions and behavior. And so we have our ideas of what actions mean. And, you know, there are certain things we might agree that, okay, common, you know, ethical codes and everything. But, you know, there's so much room for interpretation. Is everyone still hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. So there's so much room for interpretation. You know, something as simple as, like, you know, it could be as simple as, like, writing a thank you card or not, you know, like I'm just pulling something out there. In some families, it might be considered very appropriate. That's what you do. You write a thank you card. You know, you get a gift, you write a thank you card. In some others, it might be you verbally express it. You know, someone else might send an email. But depending on where we are, we can take that one action and just have our own story about it. Now, I'm taking something very simple because you know, things, after there's been interpretation upon interpretation upon interpretation, it gets more complex. But I just pulled that out to say that we can misinterpret, and there is room to see things in different ways. So if we have a situation and it's really challenging, you know, where there's a lot of even anger, you know, resentment, disappointment, hurt, all of that coming up. So what does it mean to forgive? What does it really mean? And I'm reading something from a Course in Miracles, which is really helpful. It says, when you have judgment, it basically decides, you know, this has happened, this means that, and that means that, and based on that, this should happen, or I will make this happen, or they will make it happen. So judgment really is like, you know, like a court, and you've got a judge, and you've got an attorney, and there's a case, and, you know, there's proceedings, right? It's pretty much, and it seems very logical. That's the other thing that's so difficult about it. It seems so logical. And maybe we've talked to someone else about this situation. Others will agree. And so, you know, this, it's like the, like you have in a lawsuit, there's a plaintiff and there's a defendant, and so people are assigned roles. You know, I'm the victim, someone has hurt me, I've got to, you know, be, he's got, you know, some kind of reparation, some kind of things have to be made up, and on and on and on. So that's that way. Forgiveness, it says, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It doesn't try to twist appearances. It doesn't try to argue with anything. It doesn't try to even, like, argue with itself. It's just looking and waiting and judging not. So what does that mean when we're looking and waiting and judging not? And that's really what I wanted to get back to, is the practice. So if we want inner peace on a consistent basis, it is so essential that we start to cultivate this capacity to watch our emotions, to watch our thoughts, to watch our feelings, to watch our ideas as they arise. this is something that can be cultivated. It's in so many cultures. The Buddhist traditions have, you know, the mindfulness, watching the mind. We've talked about watching, like, the body and sensations. There's practices that do that. So this is something that can be cultivated. And Jerry Jampolsky in his book writes, forgiveness is a calm seeing. A calm seeing. And he writes, a good habit to cultivate is to pause whenever you are having difficulty releasing your mind from an upset. And then this is something, so we want to, he talks about this idea of looking directly at what's happening. Now, here's a place that if we skip this, we usually will go into a story. You know, he said this, I felt bad, he shouldn't have said this, he should have known better, he knows that upsets me, I'm feeling really sad, and this is his fault. You know, something like that, okay? And you can change the she and the he or the whatever, you know. It could be an institution, it could be, you know, whatever you want it to be. So what we want to do is before we go into an interpretation, there's a space. And that's, like Emma would say, I think that's the pause. That's the gold. That's our gold. You know, that's our point of power, that pause. Because in the pause, we can do a number of things. We can go into judgment or not. You know, we can choose love or fear. We can choose to stop and do nothing, or we can act on our upset, which could mean, you know, we might, you know, kind of implode, right, harm ourselves, or explode, harm someone else, right? So all of these things happen in that moment, but if we stop and pause and watch what's playing out, if we start invoking this watching aspect, the observer aspect of our mind, then a lot of things can happen. And that's where, if we were to look at our brain and the neurochemistry, so I just want to just check in again. You guys are with me? You're hearing?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we were to look at our brain, you know, what would be happening is there's circuits, there's pathways that are made by our habitual patterns. So my habitual patterns and Seema's habitual patterns and Emil and Rosemary and Sharon and everyone, we're different. We don't see things the same way. You know, if we have 6 billion people on the earth, we probably have 6 billion perceptions of the same thing, you know? So we have our wiring, right? We have our wiring. When that pause happens and we stop and observe and watch, that firing of that neuron doesn't happen the way it did before. And that starts to weaken things just a little, okay, just a little. Now, it doesn't mean that you're done because, you know, the biology is there. You have habitual patterns, so it may take a bit of a while. But it's kind of the saying that what you don't use, you lose. That's what they say, right? Like if you have a muscle and you don't exercise it, you're going to lose it, right? We talk about that. So the same thing happens in the wiring in the brain. What you don't use, pathways that are not walked through, start to slowly, slowly shrivel. Basically, they're just, and then they're not functional, you know, because those connections are not made. So things that normally would have upset me, when I practice this watching, I watch it play out in my mind, but I am not the emotion, okay? I am the watcher. So if it's the sky and the clouds, it's these clouds, but I'm the sky. I'm not that cloud. Some clouds might feel like a thunderstorm, right? And some clouds are just a little sprinkle, you know? So we can have our own, you know, experience. There can be a variety of whatever it is. So that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is watching, is waiting. It's not making interpretations. It's just allowing things to move. And then really asking. And for me, the watching is a great step, And then in the watching is asking spirit or you know, my higher self, inner guide, look at this with me. Okay, look at this with me. What is happening in my mind? Please look at this with me so I can use this. Remember what we said? So I can use every circumstance, every opportunity to heal, to grow in happiness, to grow in peace, to grow in joy. So then we don't have to be afraid of our upsets. We don't have to be afraid of the emotions that are coming up. We don't have to, you know, just like feel like, okay, you know, I'm practicing peace, so nope, can't go there. I can't do that. I can't, because if we do that, that's very artificial. You know, it's like putting a Band-Aid, but it's not doing the healing. So it's kind of like willing to use your mind perhaps in a different way. You know, like if you're learning a new dance routine, your mind gets it, but your body doesn't get it, and it takes a bit of practice, right? So it's the same way. It's the same way to kind of bring this. And you know, when you're upset, like that's the best time to practice. You know, that's the best time to practice. And sometimes we forget, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. But not to be afraid of our upsets, not to make like this peace of mind thing, this like, you know, I mean, Emil gave us this beautiful example of having a blissful experience, and that's beautiful. But, you know, we're not trying to separate ourselves from anything, you know. We're not trying to say that this is like a cocoon I've built and nothing can come in, because that's not realistic. You know, that's not a realistic way. And usually when we do that, we're afraid of something. You know, we're afraid that there's a part of us, of our mind, you know, that's interacting with something. And anything that's like a dark corner, you know, that's like in a house, you want to clean all the corners, you know, everything's fresh. The same thing with your mind. You know, you want to be willing to see that the love and the light and the ability to heal is much stronger than anything else. So I want to see if there's anything else that I want to say. But I think, yeah, just that this idea of forgiveness, like, it's so central to all of the other stuff we've talked about. I mean, it's really central to attitudinal healing. It's central to the ideas in A Course in Miracles. It's central to many traditions. And, you know, if you think about forgiving, once again, it's not condoning a behavior, right? So it's not saying that, you know, a behavior is okay. It's just saying that let's not assume we know where that behavior was coming from. Let's not assume that, you know, we can read someone's mind. Let's not assume that it was coming, you know, like sometimes when something is a certain behavior that's hurtful, we might assume, okay, that person is selfish or that person is mean.
No, I don't hear you. Yeah, you dropped that for a second.
Yeah.
This compassion. Oh.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I'm sorry, did I go out for a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For a couple of seconds.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, is it okay now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so forgiveness gives us this capacity, I wanted to say, to cultivate this love for ourselves while we're having upsetting emotions. Imagine that, while you're in the middle of an upsetting emotion, to feel love for yourself. So there's no judgment. And at the same time, you see others when they're, quote unquote, behaving in a way that, let's say you say is bad, you cultivate this capacity of acceptance and love because you hear them asking for love. You hear that. So it's really going beyond behaviors and being willing to go to the heart of that person and knowing that at the heart of most people, we all want the same things, right? We all want to feel love. We all want to feel peaceful. We all want to feel accepted and understood and valued and you know, have meaningful lives and contribute and all of that. So that it's a big unifying force, but forgiveness is a big unifying force, but that we want to understand it, you know? We want to practice it in a way that doesn't reinforce judgment or separation in our minds. Okay, so I'm gonna stop there. And I'd like to ask for any sort of reflection or feedback. And then if there's time, maybe we can try a bit of a guided visualization or something. We'll see how we are with time.
I had something I was thinking. You said that forgiveness is really watching and waiting without interpretation or judgment. So the watching and the waiting, is that you're waiting to see it differently? Is that what you're waiting for?
Yeah. It's like when you notice you have a certain reaction to someone or some, it's very helpful if you practice it in a very specific way so it doesn't get hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do this. You can think about something that someone says or triggers or whatever, and if it happens again or if you get triggered again, which chances are we will, to just see if you can stop and watch what your mind is saying about that. Just watch what your mind is saying without, when I'm in something and I believe it, then I'm in it, right? I'm in the heat of it. But if I can step back and watch it, then that changes the dynamics. So it's that's what it is. It's like watching what's happening in my mind as it's happening without trying to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we're not habituated to doing, because most of the time we kind of, you know, live in a way of judgments. Our thoughts are all judgments, you know, about the weather, about the economy, about, you know, my hair, about how I look, about my body, about someone else. So just watch, you could just watch your mind and just see that. Like, I mean, Emil can share, I'm sure, because we practice this. And if you just watch your mind and just watch what's there, you'll be amazed. You know, you'll be amazed at stuff that's there. And it's usually similar things. So forgiveness is kind of saying that even before I can ask to see it differently, I want to watch first what I am doing in my mind. And I want to watch the other. You know, I just want to watch them without making an interpretation.
And you said that in and of itself changes
your experience of the situation.
It does make me think of something very specific. I remember when I was reading fairy tales as a kid, there was this line, a cat can look at a king. And it was just saying that, you know, the king could be so terribly important and order everybody around, and the cat could just walk in and just look at the king. And I sometimes think that when I look at cats, you know, that you've got this whole world and the way you're interpreting it, and you've got this cat, and you start kind of laughing at it, or, you know, so you can kind of interact with the world very, very differently if you choose to. So what I'm hearing is, you're in a situation that's very emotional, and rather than just using the word detachment, I'm seeing it as pause. You want to get kind of out of that reality for a moment and observe it from the outside. Is that really what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, because that opens it up. That opens the door to a new way to understand it. So Sharon, that watching opens the door, and then when that door is opened and you continue to do it, you're going to start to have a different experience of that same situation over time. All right. Sometimes it can happen quicker, but usually it's over time. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess it's a slow process, but it gets us out of our habits or like our instinct if we can just pause and observe. It's a very different way. I mean, forgiveness just from like the average person who isn't studying the Course of Miracles, forgiveness means something very different than that, you know?
Yes. You know, have you heard this, I can forgive, but I won't forget? Have you heard that? Sometimes it's said,
yeah.
You know, I can forgive it. Actually, you do forget. You do forget when forgiveness really starts to operate that way. You forget because those neuronal pathways aren't firing the way they did. So they're not, the images they were giving you, or it's not there anymore. You know, so there's a biology behind it. So it's like the relationship that was so painful, you start to only remember what was loving, and you just remember that. You know, that's all you remember. You don't remember the other stuff. You might remember it, but it doesn't have that emotional charge anymore, you know? So, I thought when I came to the Course, I thought this was like a radical forgiveness. That's the word that I would use. It's radically different than the ways I had thought about. You know, but like I said, but having said that, it does not mean that we need to, you know, put ourselves into a situation where we feel like, you know, a situation where, let's say, there's some, you know, parting of ways, or, you know, whether it be between two friends where, you know, there was someone was hurt or something. I want to keep saying that it's so much of the mind, you know. It's so much of the perceptions and the mind and interpretations. And from it, the behavior stuff will come, because there will be peace, so it'll come from a place of peacefulness. So oftentimes when we think of forgiving, you know, we think about actions, right? Like I should write I am sorry, or I should do that, which doesn't mean you can't do that. That's okay. But it's not the behavior.
I want to just say one thing.
Yeah.
And I give let people think about this and try and practice it, that for at least a week, every day of the week, take at least 15 minutes, sit quietly, not meditate, but just sit quietly and see how your brain thinks. Think of all, sit there and watch all the thoughts that come up within that 15-20 minute period. And you will be very amazed at all the things that come up that are completely and judgmentally useless. And I would think that would be a good way to start on trying to look at different situations and thinking about how you're perceiving those situations, is to start just thinking about what your mind thinks on a daily basis about different situations that happen to you that have nothing to do with forgiveness or anything. If you can get a handle on how your mind thinks, and the pattern of thoughts that you have throughout your day, you will have an easier time, not an easy time, an easier time when situations come up and you're thinking the way you're thinking, you'll know why you're thinking that way. And that's what I have to say.
And I remember you telling me, and I think it's from one of the books, we've talked about this. You know, a great practice would be like when you're just taking a shower and just watch your mind. is it really on the shower? Where does it go? You know, just watch that, because our minds are they're moving all the time. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay, yeah.
No,
so,
you do,
yeah,
I hear you.
Oh, okay. They move very, very fast. So I know it was in, was it The Tethered Soul? One of the books.
The Untethered Soul, he said to, well, that was one of his examples, was that when you're taking a shower,
yes,
what you should be concentrating on is washing your body and enjoying the warm water, and really taking a shower. But actually you're not thinking of taking a shower at all. You're thinking about what clothes you're gonna wear next, what you're gonna do at Wegmans when you have to take a ride to Wegmans and get a loaf of bread, or what you forgot to call John this morning, like you said you were gonna do. That's what you think about when you're taking a shower, when all you should be really thinking about, if you're trying to be in, if you're in the present, is what you're doing in the shower, washing your hair, washing your feet, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned about taking the shower, because I often pause when I take a shower. I'm very. It's actually very enjoyable if you focus on just the shower.
Yeah.
But your mind is racing. I get that. When I was doing that earlier today when I was in the shower. Very interesting. Yeah.
There's one thing also that I think of with all of this that you're saying, because I think one of the things that makes forgiveness so hard is just the word itself. You know, forgive. It just implies that you've got to give something or give something up to forgive. And this is a completely different idea. I don't know that there's another word you could exchange, but just that the sense of this word requiring that there's give somewhere. And it's really, this is a different, when you say it's radically different, this is just saying, no, if you don't have to give, you have to, almost like if your imagination is a camera, you have to readjust the lens.
Yeah, how about forgiveness is foregoing? Like you forego something, you forego an interpretation. You're just letting go of the interpretation, not the behavior, not condoning, but just you're wanting to get an interpretation that will be healing, so that in forgiveness lies your gain. You're not going to lose anything in forgiveness. You're going to gain your peace of mind, your joy, your tranquility, your health, your happiness. This is all the things that forgiveness will give you. But what do you need to let? You need to let go of the idea and interpretations that you had. And you don't have to do it alone. You're asking in that place of watchfulness, I think Sharon was alluding to it a little bit, is you're asking help. I'm watching this, and, you know, inner guide, watch this with me and help me here. So it's with help, and it's to be healed. So you're going to receive.
What are you forgiving, though? Like, I guess I'm still trying to tie it to the more traditional definition of someone has done something that you feel is wrong, but then you forgive them, like you were mad and now you're no longer mad.
It's probably
your judgment.
Yeah, your judgment. Yeah, did you want to say something?
I think you're forgiving your own self for making the judgment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like I want to be able to have something else between me and this person other than hurt and resentment. I don't want that there. So to have an experience of something different, peacefulness, I need to learn about forgiveness, learn how you know, and you know, I need to know what is forgiveness here. Like, what does it really mean here? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just wanting to be open. So what you're forgiving is, yeah, is your let's do it this way. Like Rosemary said, what we're doing is we're foregoing, we're letting go of our interpretation. That's what it is. We're letting go of our interpretation of what's happening. And we're waiting, we're pausing, we're watching this, and we're waiting to allow a new way to see, to settle. But before that new way can come, it's like you have a plug and you plug it in here and this thing goes on, and then you plug it in here and something else goes on, and you plug it in a third place, you know, a different thing will go on, you know, a different image. So you got to unplug. You got to unplug about the story that you have. So if you say, this happened and this person harmed me and now I have to forgive, there's already so many ideas you already have. So it's hard then. It's hard. So then it has to start like, okay, let me just accept what is. So that might be a place. Let me just accept. Let me not expect it to be any different. And that might be all you can feel for a while, you know, because it might be too hard to see it anything differently. Your mind just couldn't, it just won't open that way. And that's okay, you know, and that's okay. So you can just reach for acceptance. We talked about this today, just acceptance of what is a step in forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the pause that you talk about that happens before you interpret is
correct.
Catching yourself before you even have something to forgive. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but I mean,
it does.
Forgiveness, I typically think of it as like after you've had that judgment or that interpretation, kind of backpedaling and saying, okay, there's another way of looking at it. But it's almost like forgiving before you've done anything to, I don't know.
Well, it applies both ways. It applies both ways. If something has happened and you've seen it a certain way, so then forgiveness is, how can I see this differently? I have this idea. And it can you know, it can heal your interpretations of even past events. I mean, it's that powerful. You will start to see past events differently. Not that the events will be what they will be, but your interpretation of them will change. So it can go into the past and give you a different interpretation in the now, because the past seems to be in the past, but, you know, if it's affecting us, it's our present, right? It's here now. So then forgiveness is needed. As you practice it and you become more adept at watching your mind, and like Emil said, you've practiced watching where your mind goes. You know what triggers you. You know the places that, you know, set you off or whatever. Then when that stimulus, whatever it is, you know, like I'll just give something simple again. Like, you know, people talk about their kids' rooms, right? Rooms not being clean, you know, as they get older and whatever. And, you know, there are times where you're wanting it a certain way, you want this to be clean, and then after a while, when, you know, you're kind of practicing this, you start to say, you know, this is not, like, it's not necessary. You know, this doesn't mean anything, and I don't have to interpret it this way. And so your mind just doesn't engage, you know, because there's no reason to. So you see how it can be practiced in different situations. It's like, I feel like it's like our ticket to inner peace. You know, if we can let go of our judgments and understand what that means and practice it, we're guaranteed peace of mind. You know, we can have peace of mind. And it's a good exchange in my mind. You know, if I can let go of a painful judgment that's just giving me pain and I can get peace of mind, you know, I want it. You know, I see it like that. So it's an exchange, you know, giving this whatever for this. And I'd rather have this peace of mind. So again, it comes back to your desire. How important is peace of mind to you? And someone else joined us I'm sorry, someone else is it, I'm not sure. Okay.
It's Mary.
All right, it is Mary. Okay, recognize the number. So yes, did you wanna say anything or do you wanna just continue to listen?
Is it about forgiveness?
Yeah, we're just talking about
Yeah, I feel that when I forgive someone, that it just helps me heal too. And instead of staying in anger and pain, it helps me heal also. And if I continue to stay with loving thoughts, you know, it's a definite plus. I also look at the person that's hurting me and feel that they're in a lot of pain themselves. So if I understand that they're coming from pain, then it helps me feel more compassion. And really, I feel too much empathy, really. Even if they're hurting me, I feel that pain from them. But it definitely is a better thing to not lose my power and react back. It's much better and much easier to just go with love and keep forgiving. I feel much better that way. So it's not always easy, but it works much better than the other way.
So I'm not sure if anyone else wants to say anything else, because I was feeling like maybe we could just do sort of a quick kind of like a quiet, guided sort of meditation or something like that together. Or if someone else wants to share or they have a question, we can do that too. We have like a few more minutes. So whatever we feel.
How about the guided? It would be nice if we do a guided meditation or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
would be nice.
That would be really nice.
All right. So I want you all to just let yourself sit comfortably. And just, you know, come into a posture that's comfortable. I don't know if you're on a phone, if you want to put the phone down and put it on speaker, whatever, so that your hands and your neck and your head, all of that are, you know, relatively comfortable. And I'm just inviting our wise, loving presence that's within each of our hearts to be here. and to know that we are all joined in our desire to understand and practice forgiveness. And we just ask this wise spirit presence to just shed light on our path. If there is any person or situation that's up in our awareness right now, that we just, and that knowing that this light and presence is with us, so we're just letting this light shine on this situation or this person or whatever it seems to be. We're not trying to intellectually understand this. We're not trying to weigh pros and cons or figure this out. We want the experience, and we know that can happen even without our understanding or getting it. So we just ask this wise spirit, this presence, just help us here. Help to dissolve whatever is blocking our way from seeing the situation in a different light. We're just bringing this to this wise, loving, light-filled presence and just letting it dissolve, just letting it be there and be taken care of for us. And if there's someone in our minds that we feel needs our help right now or needs help from this place of love, of spirit, of presence, we can also send that. Forgiveness does not depend upon words said or not said, actions done or not done. It can start just with a simple shift of perception. Let our hearts be lighter, perhaps a little less burdened. We don't have to do anything or fix anything or change anything. We're just asking for our minds and our hearts just to receive this light. So just let yourself sit with this. Just knowing you're never alone. Love is always here for you. Okay, so we'll stop here. So for next week, let's just practice this forgiveness. Let's just open our minds to it and just let it be practiced, and we'll check in next week.
It was a good meditation.
Yep, thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Thank you. I can feel the strength in, you know, the group's willingness. It was very strong to learn, to be taught, and that's very powerful. So thank you. Teach everyone.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, Emil. Good night, everyone. Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.